Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Do you envision sort of like a 70-30 type split in practices?
No, that's definitely accurate. You know, it's not a secret. We have a quarterback, you know, in the wings that needs to continue to develop. And normally, I would say, you know, normally it's the starter gets, let's say, 95% of the reps, and the backup doesn't. With this, it's a little bit different, and we had a conversation, you know, how do we, I guess the struggle is, how do you get your starting quarterback prepared for the game and also continue to develop the guy in the background, which is Drake. And so it is like a 70-30 split. You're right on the head, and we were very thoughtful. And when we talk about, you know, we have a development plan for Drake, that's part of it. And I try not to get too deep into, you know, what that plan actually looks like, but he still takes, you know, reps with the starters. He does a good job on the show team as well, and he's doing a good job. And you can see his confidence continuing to grow.
Gerard Mayo last hour. That's interesting. 30%. Those reports. Yep, those are accurate. Part of the plan. He's getting reps with the starters? Not just the show. He's getting reps with the starters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, we're going to see this guy.
That's something new.
We're going to see him in a few weeks.
Hour number two, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Mayo last hour, hot off the presses. We're going to ask Alex Van Pelt about all this.
Definitely.
Here on a Patriots Friday. I was planning on asking him.
About the Washburn, but now it's confirmed.
Yeah,
Mayo confirmed it.
I was planning on asking him 30%. Is that accurate? Why are you giving him so much work? And we can still ask that, but Mayo just confirmed it.
Yeah.
So scratch that question off. That's done. He is getting 30% and he's getting reps with the starters. Keith, your read on that, is that just about preparing him to play in the league eventually, or is that preparing to play him soon?
I think it's soon. I think it's 30% does seem pretty high when you're also trying to get your starter in Jacoby Brissett ready to go week to week for each opponent. So that to me, you know, and Mayo's right. He's like, you know, it's obvious. There's a guy waiting in the wings, a third overall pick. He's going to play. But if you're giving him 30% of the snaps right off the jump, where right now in between week one and week two, that doesn't seem like, hey, let's give him 30% and then he'll be ready for 2025. That feels like a guy that could take over, and not just for injury, at some point earlier in the season. That's how I read it.
Okay, I'll tell you, you laid out the scenario yesterday, and you guys can jump in on this. What are they doing? Why is Drake May getting so much work? Do you agree with it? Is it the right plan? 617-779-7937. That goes in with everything else we've talked about. Pick the game. We want all your predictions here today on Jones and Keeve, Patriots and Seahawks. Are the Patriots going to win? Are they going to cover? How do you see that playing out? We got into Tua on Thursday Night Football. We also gave you our Bozo touchdown parlay, some line movement on that already.
Oh, yeah.
I think we had the power of the Jones and Keith Bozo touchdown parlay already reworking the market.
Still good juice. Still good juice. Close to $1,200.
Good juice, but yeah. I think we're moving lines with how many people are plunking down. Just a ham, as you said.
Just one ham.
$10 will win you a lot of beans, although less beans than last hour. So a lot you can get to, 617-779-7937. Why are they doing this? And I'll tell you, the scenario you laid out, Keith, they're 3-2. Would they go to Drake May? Yesterday I said, no chance. It's all about if they're winning games, and if they're winning and it's ugly, but they're winning, they'll stick with Brissett. This?
Yeah.
We already knew about the 30%. He's getting reps with the starters.
Yeah.
Yep. And maybe I should have inferred that, but that makes me feel differently about it. That feels like, oh, no, we're planning on starting him week 5 or 6. That's our target. It doesn't matter what Jacoby Brissett does. Independent of how Brissett plays and what the team does, we are getting May ready to play for this week. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we were able to watch is the preseason games. Who was better, Drake May or Jacoby Brissett?
May.
Drake May was. The last couple of weeks of practice, who was better? Drake May was, at least according to everybody that was down there. All the beat writers, kind of, it was sort of like unanimous that he was better the last couple of weeks. Actually, forget the beat writers. As great of a job as they do, Gerard Mayo told us that he was better and playing better.
Yeah, scratch,
so just take that. Forget
scratch
that.
The beat writers out of there.
I appreciate them and their hard work, but Mayo told us. So they've, though, felt as if they didn't want to throw him to the wolves, and a lot of it could have been about the rest of the roster. A lot of it could have been, all right, Drake May himself may not be 100% ready, but he's certainly not ready to take over this team. Well, if the team looks a little bit better than expected, particularly the offensive line, but really the whole offense as a group, and you can later add a more playmaking, more athletic quarterback, why wouldn't you do that? Because Jacoby Brissett has the floor, right? And I think, and a ceiling, unfortunately. He's got a lower ceiling, maybe a higher floor. So I think they're getting him ready. And at some point, if they can add that guy, because you were all over on Monday's show how Gerard Mayo had mentioned, well, you know, there were some throws out there.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody else was kind of really complimenting Jacoby Brissett's game, didn't turn it over, and picked up first downs with his legs, which we didn't really see coming. Like, it was like, hey, it was almost across the board. It was like, hey, good job. And Mayo's like, no, there were some throws out there. It's like, oh.
Mayo said if you watch the film, guys were open.
So if you want to add that dynamic, which every team does want to add the dynamic of the passing game, for God's sakes. But if you want to add that to the mix, I think they're going to kind of slow play it, not for the season, slow play it for week one, right? Like, so much was made about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix starting week one, but he could still start week 5 and play 12 games this season and be better off for next year.
I didn't think that necessarily. I mean, I thought that if they were 1-3 or 0-4.
Yeah.
I didn't. Let's say I am winning the first 3 games. Let's
so they're 3-0.
Let's say they're 3-1 and get smoked by the Niners. I now think they could start Drake May in week 5 now based on how much work they're giving him. And I do want to ask Van Pelt, noontime hour, and I don't know if Mayo was asked this specifically or not, where the press conference happened while we're on the air, so we're going through it. But you heard that answer there. They gave him 30% last week. Is that consistent again this week? Is he getting more work? Why is he getting work with the starters? I want to hear Van Pelt's answer to all of that coming up when he joins us here on a Patriots Friday. But yeah, to your point about the mobility.
Yeah.
Brissett ran 7 times last game, and I actually thought he moved pretty well.
Yeah.
But it was only 32 yards, and he was picking up first downs, and he ran well.
No, I know. It was the first downs. It wasn't like big chunks of yards.
But if Drake May runs 7 times, I expect more than 32 yards. And I think that speaks to how he can impact the game. There's more upside for big plays in the passing game. There's more upside for points, I think, offensively, but also for the defense. He might give away some plays.
Right.
But if he runs 7 times, he's going to get more than 32 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that as well. You can jump in on this. 617-779-7937, along with all your thoughts. Patriots and Seahawks on Sunday. Who you got? How's it happen? Bob's in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Bob?
Hello?
Bob's driving around.
Bob in Londonderry? Hello?
Bob, what do you got? Bob says,
he's
messing around with the phone. He wants to get May in during a winnable game.
May in during a winnable game.
Would that be Sunday? Sunday is a winnable game. I don't think he's going to play this game, but I'm just saying it's more winnable than the Niners game.
Do you think there's any value in Drake May if it's sort of the opposite of what he's saying? It's a non-competitive game, and it's a blowout either way. I don't see the Patriots blowing anybody out because I don't think they can score enough.
Yep.
But if the Patriots are down, do you think there's value in getting Drake May out there in a fourth quarter running around and doing that?
I do. Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen came in week 1, I believe, his rookie year. He didn't get the start. They threw out Nathan Peterman. He was god-awful. In comes Josh Allen. He then starts week 2 and then has started every game since. So I think there is a little bit of that. I mean, if we're talking about how much can he get out of 30% of practice snaps, well, I don't know. How much can he get out of the fourth quarter of a game? Like, they're not going to bench even if it's lopsided, they're not going to take out all the starters. They're still going to be playing. I think that's worthwhile reps. And then you see him on game day, throw him in there, and kind of see what he got. I'd be happy with that.
No, me too. And I'm curious how the offense looks this week. I don't think it's going to change much because I don't think they're going to need to against Seattle. I don't think you need to get more aggressive, push the ball downfield much more. But this answer from Alex Van Pelt to me yesterday was interesting. He was asked about opening up the playbook a little bit, here's what he said.
You know, without getting into specifics, there were some more things that I'd like to have on the call sheet that I did not have in this game, and I think we put some of those in this call sheet. Just felt like there were some times when I wanted to do something differently, and I didn't have it on the sheet. So this week, it's more of a complete sheet.
Okay, first of all, gross. Second of all, what do you do? Why did you not have those calls on there? Was that because...
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure. I mean, unless they go into it and they're like, all right, here are the only plays that we're going to call this week.
Right,
this is it. And we're not going to go anywhere else. I don't expect you guys to know anything else other than the ones that are on this play
sheet. I thought the whole idea is Brissett's supposed to know the whole offense. So like,
it's not a Brissett thing. Maybe the linemen and the rookie receivers and all those guys don't know.
Fair. Jalen Polk doesn't know the full thing. Pop Douglas is still learning the offense.
So Brissett knows that, but nobody else does. And it's like, oh, boy.
No, fair.
That might be that.
So maybe it's that. I just wondered, was that – I mean, I'd imagine Van Pelt can come up with his own call sheets. The only reason I say that is because there was a clip that was going around a week or so ago where Brady was like, me and Josh McDaniels used to hide all these plays that Bill didn't approve of. And we'd have all these extra plays because Bill wanted like only X amount of calls, and we'd have like 50 extra.
Got it.
So did Mayo not want a big call sheet? And was Van Pelt like, I'd like to have more, and that was his way of getting that out? Was Van Pelt like, I don't trust it because I don't know if everybody on the offense, to your point, knows it?
Yeah.
And he's like, now I'm a little more trusting of it. We're going to open it up more. Just why didn't you have all the calls in week one? That's wild to me.
So it could be a Mayo thing, and that's what we'll ask Van Pelt about. But it might have been, hey, we need to kind of – it's week one. It did not look great in the preseason, right? Like, we couldn't even line up properly, so maybe we don't need 110 plays.
Let's streamline it.
Maybe it was that. Like, hey, you know, like, and remember the Titans. We run 6 plays, 3 to the right, 3 to the left, and we run them perfectly.
Right.
Like, that kind of thing where, like, we're not going to run a ton of stuff, but there shouldn't be any questions. There shouldn't be any doubts. Nobody running around. Nobody calling timeouts. Like, everybody knows what these plays are, and it's week one. And I don't know. Like, that would be something that maybe, like, you know, Wiggy could speak to better. Like, do you constantly add plays as the season goes on? I'm sure you toss plays too, but maybe by the end of the year, the playbook is a lot thicker than it is at the beginning.
617-779-7937. Big response to the Bozo touchdown parlay.
People love it.
Well,
not everybody.
Some people love it, Keith.
Okay. Well, that's actually a good sign.
Yeah, you think so?
I've always maintained that. Yeah. If everybody loves it, maybe not enough people are listening.
Our pal Ray.
What'd Ray say?
On Twitter, at Jones, WEEI, at Keefe21. Guys, I'd rather listen to two large people.
Wow.
Have intercourse.
Thanks for censoring yourself.
Than 5 morons picking anytime touchdowns.
You don't like the anytime touchdown Bozo parlay, Ray?
That's one view on it.
I think
others.
And also, I wouldn't knock
the thing. Others, though, liked it. I'm doing this because I love the new show.
Also, we don't know who Shannon Sharp was with. It could have been a larger person. Like, we have no idea.
Oh, you think it was a reference to that?
If it's audio only, how do you really know? Would be my suggestion.
It's a good question.
What is he talking about?
You told me the line is already moving. The power of the Bozo touchdown parlay, the line's already moved.
I think you in particular, the Gus bus went from +170 down to +160.
That was the power of the Jones.
Just Jones, I think. That's the only one, I believe, that went down. But
nice.
Still a good return, I would say.
Okay. Get in there. Follow along if you'd like. Again, it's Patriots Friday. We have Dietrich Wise and Alex Van Pelt of the Patriots noontime hour. We'll get to the week in review. Later on in the program, we'll also get to our Friday 4-pack. 4 questions about the Patriots and the Seahawks. Stay tuned for it.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
2 more rips, 2 more...
you deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You been to Seattle, Keith?
I've never been to Seattle.
Ooh.
I'd go. I'd like to go.
I've been once. I did Seattle, Vancouver as a trip. Saw the Bruins and Canucks.
How about that?
Up in beautiful Vancouver.
That's nice.
Flew into Seattle. Took the train.
Kraken weren't a team then.
Oh, it was.
Didn't see the Kraken.
No Kraken. No Kraken then.
Yeah.
How many years ago was this? I don't know. Took the train up.
Is it nice?
Seattle to Vancouver. Lovely. Wow. Lovely city. Experience Music Project though. If you're out there.
Yeah.
Right by the Space Needle.
Space Needle.
You're Nirvana.
Yeah.
You're Soundgarden.
Sure.
You're Pearl Jam.
Alice in Chains.
You're Alice in Chains.
Yeah. Who else you got?
You're Temple of the Dog.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a super
kind of a crossover sort of
those,
thing.
Yeah, added to the sure. pile. Added to the pile.
Hendrix.
Hendrix, Seattle.
Yeah, I don't recall who else was there. But these
Hole?
I don't recall.
I'm not sure.
I don't recall Hole at the Experience Music Project.
Fair
but,
enough.
Good time.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff there.
Good time if you're out there.
I'll check it out.
So Patriots and Seahawks this weekend. We both have the Patriots winning.
Yeah.
I got 17-10. You said Seahawks might not score a touchdown.
I could see neither team scoring a touchdown. Now, like, you can bet that, and there's big odds, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's 12-9. If we come in on Monday, 12-9, Joey Sly just driving kicks right down the middle. Neither team allows a score. I could see that.
I'm more confident in the Patriots scoring a touchdown and getting in the end zone.
a touchdown.
I'm more confident in them doing it because I don't really trust Seattle.
True.
They don't have Kenneth Walker, who might be their arguably their best offensive piece. And I think
it seems unlikely. Now, he hasn't been ruled out, but it seems unlikely that Walker plays.
And even if he plays, how healthy is he? He hasn't practiced all week. He left the game last week with an oblique injury.
Right.
That doesn't feel like a quick injury that you're going to get past.
No, not the oblique.
And I kind of trust Christian Gonzalez to, if not shut down DK Metcalf, slow him down. Who else is going to beat you? Never mind the West to East factor. Never mind, I don't think Seattle's very good. Their defense isn't good. So I have the Patriots winning. Keith has the Patriots winning.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about it? Who you got in the game? How do you see it playing out? 617-779-7937. We also discussed Thursday Night Football last night. I thought the division was in play going into that game. I don't like the Jets. How can you trust the Dolphins now?
But do the Bills look better, though, to you?
They do.
Than you thought, maybe?
So
that's the other thing. That's like Tua going down, TBD on what their quarterback situation is going to be. Plus, they can't really beat good teams.
Let me rephrase
I'm not saying the Pats are a good team, but the Dolphins don't really beat good teams.
Maybe you're higher in the pecking order in the division than we thought.
Okay,
if you're not one.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the second best team in the division in play.
Yeah, the Jets and then after last night, the Dolphins both look like they have issues.
So after,
whereas the Bills look, I mean, Josh Allen's having a good year.
After one
he
week.
He didn't do much, but he didn't have to.
After one week, where are you in the division's pecking order? And I think you're better off. And you think Brady is not could. You think Brady's going to come back and play for the Dolphins?
Yeah, hell yeah. I think it makes sense for everybody involved. I think for Fox would love it. They would drive him to Miami first class.
So here's a question for you. And Keith, you asked this off the air. I don't think we said this on the air. I already know your answer since you think Brady's coming back and playing.
I do.
What's more likely? Brady's in the booth calling Patriots Dolphins or Brady is playing in the game for the Miami Dolphins? 617-779-7937. I love the idea.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders ownership complication somewhere on that list is an issue for him.
Yep.
My guess is he's in the booth. Not exactly a bold take. That's my guess for it. You guys can weigh in on that. Meanwhile, we have a Friday 4-pack, Patriots and Seahawks. 4 questions for you about the game this weekend. Billy Lanny, where are we starting with our Friday 4-pack?
Okay, if you could take any player off the Seahawks and give him to the Patriots, who would it be?
Okay, so this one, last week we were back and forth between Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. This week, I'm going Metcalf. I love DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And I just said I think Gonzalez can slow him down, maybe even shut him down. But I love the whole thing. He's giant. He's awesome. The dark visor, the whole thing. I like it. The Patriots should have taken him a few years ago instead of N'Keal Harry. So you want to right that wrong, go for it. DK Metcalf would be my pick off of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think he's a guy, one of the laundry lists of successful receivers that went right after N'Keal Harry. So we always bring him up. Now, I'm surprised how good he is. The way he came out of college, he's like, jacked. He looks like he should be in a strongman competition. I thought he was going to get hurt a lot. He's been way more durable than I thought, and he's been great. Tyler Lockett is really good, but it's also a little bit more of like, he's a nice complimentary piece. He's a nice possession receiver.
I like Lockett.
Good hands, like all that. But the real playmaker on that team is DK Metcalf. Also shows you the departure, I feel like. Normal Seattle teams, you could pick a guy or two off of defense and be like, oh, that guy you'd want. Like Bobby Wagner, long gone. All the Legion Boom guys, long gone. So I think you do have to look offense. And they have a trio of receivers who should be really good. Like Jackson Smith and Jigba should be really good. Those other Ohio State receivers have really talked him up, right? Wasn't it like Chris Olave really likes him too? Like all those guys like him.
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson, another guy that really liked him. He didn't really do much for me last year. And
he didn't do much week one.
No, he didn't do much week one at all. And so I'm with you. I think out of those three receivers, Metcalf is the best and clearly is what stands out on their team. So I'd take Metcalf.
I'm looking up the wide receivers in that draft. Was Smith and Jigba the first wide receiver taken? He was. So he went before Quentin Johnston, not good.
Quentin Johnston stinks.
Went before Zay Flowers, went before Jordan Addison.
They were all right in a row, though, weren't they?
Yeah,
like, they pretty were. Pretty much four picks in a row.
Went before Knicks guy Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice. I mean, some of these guys were second-rounders, but you know, you got to kind of wonder if Seattle had the right evaluation there. Yeah, I don't really even think it's much of a question who you'd take off of Seattle.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious. Like, their defense is like, kind of... Witherspoon...
Woolen.
Yeah, Woolen was good. Tariq Woolen was really good.
Their corners are good. That's a good call.
Boye Mafi, he had like 13 sacks last year. I'd take him.
If Ken Walker were healthy, would you take him or Ramondre Stevenson?
No, I would take Stevenson over Walker. I think Walker's good, but I like Stevenson. I think he's better.
Okay. Put us down for DK Metcalf. You taking Metcalf there, Billy?
Yeah, easy.
I think that's the one.
That's the guy.
What Seahawks jersey, past or present, would you want?
I think I might go Earl Thomas.
Okay, so
I might go Legion of Boom.
We're in the same era, but different answer.
We're thinking Sherman, but I think I would go Earl Thomas. Obviously, like the old school one would be like a Steve Largent.
Yeah.
I usually go wide out or secondary. I think a Cortez Kennedy.
Nice.
Not to steal your answer yet, but I'm just naming like 20 guys. Earl Thomas. He was one of those guys. He wasn't the biggest guy, but he hit the snot out of guys. And it was one of the last few years where safeties were allowed to really lay out guys over the middle. So I'll take Earl Thomas.
So I thought about Sean Alexander. Did he win an MVP?
Sean
Alexander was awesome.
Yeah.
He's on the cover of Madden.
He had like five touchdowns in a game, I think. I had him in fantasy
that year. I thought about Sean Alexander.
Good one.
Steve Largent has to cross your mind, but that's before my
time. It's a cool jersey, too, because they had like that lighter blue.
Well, and when they wear those throwbacks last weekend. The throwbacks
are nice.
Phenomenal.
That's a nice
If you're
jersey.
Telling me Seattle's wearing those this weekend, I might change my pick on the Patriots.
Yeah, 100% change that pick.
I went with Cam Chancellor, though. Same Legion of Boom.
He was a hoss.
Same position. You want to talk about knocking the snot out of people.
Yeah, he knocked the snot out of
people. And so I like Cam Chancellor. I like that whole secondary. Like Brandon Browner was here in 2014. I thought about him. Put me down for Cam Chancellor. Who would you go with, Bill?
If I'm not going Marshawn Lynch, I'm going Brian Bosworth.
Oh, the Boss!
I like the old school. Yeah, old school look with Bosworth on the back of your sick jersey.
That's a really good one.
After Bo Jackson in the old kingdom. That's a good one. That's a good pick.
I like the Boss.
Yeah,
that one's hilarious. Yeah, Marshawn Lynch is also a really good one because he was a badass. All right, not a Seneca Wallace.
Ooh,
not going there.
Not a lot of Russell
Bobby
Wilson.
Wagner.
Not a lot of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no, Wagner's a good one.
Yep.
You guys like Jim Zorn? You're not going Jim Zorn on that?
not my picks. So there you go. That's the Seahawks throwback jersey. Who are we going with in our third question here, Bill?
Number three, can the Seahawks make the playoffs?
I'm going to say no.
I say no as well because they're not in a bad division, right? So it's not like, you know, a toss-up division where they could sort of back in. Like the Niners are going to win that division. So now you look to the wild card. And even though I still think the AFC is deeper and better than the NFC, I still don't think there's enough spots for a team like Seattle to get in.
Yeah,
might finish last in their division, depending on how you feel about Kyler Murray.
When we had our tiers, I had them as a bottom tier team. I'm sorry, as second to bottom. I had them on the fourth tier.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think the NFC is great. And look, you're talking about Jordan Love, that injury already throwing things a little bit out of whack.
Right.
Maybe it's a little more open than I would have thought, but no, I don't feel that Seattle is a playoff team in year one with Mike McDonald. I know we're going to get to this guy, Geno Smith. I still don't fully trust. Mm-hmm. They've been right around 500 the last couple of years. 1 year they were in, 1 year they were out. So again, I don't want to say they can't make the playoffs. I don't want to say it's impossible they're going to make the playoffs, but if you're asking me to like actually pick it, No, I'm not going to pick Seattle making the postseason because I don't trust most of that offense.
No, I think too many things would have to happen like around them, like in the NFC. Like too, there'd be like multiple Jordan Love type injuries to teams for them to get in. I think the Rams and the Niners alone are better in the division. Cowboys and Eagles are better out in the East. You know, the North is kind of loaded. So, yeah, I don't think there's a spot for him.
Okay, so we both have him out of the postseason. What's our final question in the four-pack here, Billy?
Is Geno Smith a top 16 quarterback?
So, obviously there's a lot. There's like 1,000 Pro Bowl replacements every year, and like famously Mac Jones was a Pro Bowler. But Geno Smith has been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years since he got to Seattle.
2 years?
The last 2 years he's been a Pro Bowler.
Okay.
In 2022, he threw 30 touchdowns to only 11 picks. Last year, he missed a couple of games, went down to 20 touchdowns, but only 9 picks. My first thought, though, was still no.
I lean no for sure.
I think it's a no, but what is that, 50 touchdowns to 20 picks over the last 2 seasons for him?
Yeah, like, it's like 4 years for Jacoby Brissett.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Like, that's not bad. Like, he's way better than I thought.
His entire career, he doesn't have 50 touchdowns yet.
No, he probably doesn't. No, he had...
He's like 49.
Oh, Jacoby?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's played in almost as many games for, or a few more games for Seattle than for the Jets.
Okay.
And he's thrown twice as many touchdowns.
Let me just go through. And you just tell me if you disagree with any names I mentioned, okay?
Because
some of them are obvious.
Hit me in the face.
Mahomes.
Better.
Allen.
Allen's better.
Hurts.
Better.
Lamar.
Better.
Goff.
I don't love Goff.
Okay.
Better. I don't love Goff.
I take Jared Goff. Right. Kyler Murray.
I do like Kyler Murray.
Okay. Dak.
Better.
Stroud.
Better.
Purdy.
I don't like Purdy either, but he's better.
Okay.
Is that 16?
No, I mean, not even close, but right. Baker Mayfield.
Ooh, I like, you know me, I like Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Stafford?
Yeah, probably.
Tua before he got hurt.
Nah. I don't know. It's close.
Maybe it's irrelevant close. Now.
It doesn't really matter.
I haven't set Burrow yet.
Yeah.
You like Aaron Rodgers?
I do.
Okay.
Big fan.
Like Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson.
So now we got Jaden Daniels.
So now you're getting into it. So yeah, maybe he's right around 16.
I think he's outside that though. Like I think
like Kirk. You like Kirk Cousins?
Well, I did
before week one.
He was trash.
Geno. I'd take Kirk Cousins.
Is it a primetime game? Because Kirk Cousins playing primetime this week, and he may be terrible.
Let's say yes. Even some of the rookies. Like if you're asking me, who would I rather have? I'd rather have Caleb Williams or Jaden. As bad as Caleb Williams was, or Jaden Daniels.
Well, long term, obviously, but for this season,
right now. Yeah, I think I'd still rather have those guys over Geno Smith.
He probably is like in the 20s.
Yeah.
Like if you're ranking the 32 starters,
right.
He's probably in the
20s. If you move the line to, is he top 20?
Yeah.
Maybe I would meet you there. But shocked he's made back-to-back Pro Bowls.
Yeah, me too. I think, well, part of it is with these guys, if you're bad or struggle for 5 years and then you're good, people, it's just so ingrained in their heads what you were with the Jets and like what you were with the Giants. It's like, oh, that guy stinks. And then he's a great example. And he should be the prime example for a guy like Mac Jones. For Mac Jones to be like, I'm not going to suck my whole career. And be like, well, yeah, well, give me any proof that you can turn it around. Oh, Geno Smith.
Geno Smith took forever, bounced around multiple teams, but ultimately he figured it out.
Also started as a rookie, I believe. He was a second-round pick. That was a terrible quarterback draft. EJ Manuel in the first round. Early second round was Geno Smith in 2013. Immediately started, went 8-8 for the Jets, but threw 21 picks. And only 12 touchdowns.
Not great.
Then started the next year for the Jets.
Got punched out by his teammate.
Yep. And then, yeah, right. And then started the next year for the Jets. And then after that, he was a backup for, 6 years before ultimately starting for Seattle. And he was actually in Seattle for a couple of years before he got the job.
It's crazy the handoff that they did from Russell Wilson to Geno Smith. And I think they are going to drop off this year, but they started 1-0 with a victory last week over a bad Denver team. But, like, the run with Russell Wilson, since Wilson came in as a rookie in 2012, they went 11-5, made the playoffs. 13-3, won the Super Bowl. 12-4, lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
10-6, lost in the playoffs. 10-5-1, playoffs. 9-7, missed the playoffs. 10-6, 11-5, 12-4, those were all playoff seasons. Then they went 7-10. Russell Wilson's final year in Seattle, he was hurt that year,
yeah.
If you remember.
Yep.
So they trade him to Denver. They go 9-8 with Geno, make the playoffs. 9-8 last year, missed the playoffs.
No, Pete Carroll's a pretty good coach.
I mean, but that's just...
Oh.
You think about the transition to Geno Smith and how they've been able to like stay competitive and relevant. Like that is impressive.
It's such an outlier though, like how they were able to do it because they drafted Russell Wilson in the third round. They signed Matt Flynn in free agency to a big contract. Russell Wilson wins the job out of camp. So there's not a lot of third round pick starters right off the rip. And then to go from Russell Wilson to a backup guy that was left for dead. He even had the great line. He was like, oh, well, everybody wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
Yeah.
He wrote those lines. You're like, all right, that's pretty good.
So
Geno Smith came back. Like, but of all the ways to go from one quarterback to the other, like, that is bizarre. Like, they didn't use a first-round pick on any of these guys. They didn't,
crazy,
like, make a big trade for any of these guys. And they've been decent. And it's not like they have a guy waiting in the wings like a Drake May. They got Drake May's buddy, Sam Howell, who they traded for. But he himself was, what, like a fifth-round pick?
Yeah.
And so he's the backup there.
And he
started, Washington gave up on him.
He started okay last year, but yeah, the wheels really came off. Yeah,
they fell off. So I guess they're going with Geno, at least for now.
Okay, a bunch of participation here in the Friday 4-pack. Yes. Every Friday on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to Keefe's Keys in the 1 o'clock hour. We have that right at 1 o'clock?
Yeah, we do it around 1 o'clock, the triumphant return of Keefe's Keys.
Okay, people were clamoring for it last week.
They were actually pissed.
Quite upset.
Yeah.
A bunch of suggestions on the text line, 37937, Fourier throwbacks. That would have been a good
one
to bring up.
That's true. Spent a lot of time with Seattle, so you could go there. Yep.
Should have thought about that one. Amar on Twitter, at Jones and Keefe, at Jones WEEI, at Keefe21, gave all his picks. DK Metcalf, that's another vote there.
Okay.
For which Seahawk you would take. Throwback jersey, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Seahawks don't make the playoffs, and Geno Smith is a top 16 quarterback.
He's probably right on the line, because there is a lot of guys in the middle that every year you can argue kind of up or down. Geno has had a couple of decent seasons and winning records, so like he's got that going for him.
Our buddy Matt on Twitter also said, and this is a good Seahawks throwback,
yeah,
Ricky Waters.
Ricky Waters with Seattle?
Yeah, didn't he start there?
Oh, maybe. I just remember him with the Niners and the
Eagles.
I had a Ricky Waters jersey.
Ricky, not a Seahawks one.
No, an Eagles
running
one.
Running Waters.
Didn't he have like 6 touchdowns in the Super Bowl? That's some insane number like in that one.
Was it the Super Bowl?
I don't know if it was the Super Bowl, but he had
a game where he had like 6 touchdowns.
Maybe that's on the way there. No, Steve Young might have had the crazy game, but it was that. Wasn't it the George Seifert Super Bowl or one of the George Seifert ones? Second one.
Yeah,
didn't Seifert win 2?
Yeah.
There's the 94 Super Bowl that Ricky Waters was good.
Where Steve Young finally broke through and won one.
He's a good gatekeeper Hall of Fame guy, too. He's not in, but he had a really good career. Better career than you think.
He ran for 10,000 yards and 78 touchdowns. That is pretty good. He finished, I had it backwards, he finished in Seattle.
So he did.
He went Niners, Eagles, 4 years in Seattle at the end of his career.
Oh, my God, 4 years in Seattle.
And the guy liked clockwork. Chalk him up for 1,000 yards every year. 1239,
right.
1210, 1242, 318, and then retired.
He's the man.
Ricky Running Waters. So there you go. That's the 4-pack.
Ooh, Jerry Rice is a good one. That's a deep cut Seahawk.
So was he did he play there or was he a train? No, he's a training camp casualty in Denver. He did play in Seattle, right?
He did play in Seattle.
I'm not going to say those numbers were good.
No, because he split his last year between Oakland and Seattle. So he played 11 games in Seattle, had 362 yards and 3 touchdowns at age 42.
That's like T.O.
That's
like
insane.
T.O. was just putting up like 1,000 yards late in his 30s, maybe even as a 40-year-old. T.O. was insane.
Oh, he was.
617-779-7937. More of your feedback here coming up. Noontime hour, we have a lot scheduled. The very punctual Lou Maloney will join us at high noon. We have Alex Van Pelt, Patriots offensive coordinator, who spoke to the media yesterday. He'll join us here on Jones and Keefe. We also have Dietrich Wise, Patriots captain, joining us in that noontime hour. Coming up next, you heard the Greg Hill Show today. What jumped out to us, we'll get to misleading next.
It's time for misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keefe.
Misleading. Each and every day at this time here on Jones and Keefe, 11:45. What happened on the Greg Hill Show this morning? We always have thoughts on it. We're listeners. As a lot of you are, we hear it in the car on the drive-in. I saw a lot of them out last night in the Seaport.
Yeah,
all
how was that?
All at Cisco's, good.
Good get-together, good.
Yeah, gassed up a couple of beers.
Like that.
Got out of there. They all went to, it sounded like a lovely day, very nice. They extended the invite. I said, my wife is blowing up my phone. It's time to get home.
You've
and go tell
enough.
The kid. Yeah, I only get so much time out.
Understandable.
And, you know, so you only get a minimal amount of time. And
do you have
any
pumpkin beers?
No.
Or you had regular beers.
This was my thing.
Like a pumpkin
I go,
beer.
What do you got that's light?
Oh,
and I said the lightest stuff you got.
Like, we have water.
Whatever you got that's light.
Wasn't the whole thing like, hey, we have pumpkin beer.
Yeah, that's what
you
I thought.
Try it.
That's why I was like really bummed I missed it.
They were on the menu. That was just not what I chose to get.
Try water.
I went a few shark trackers, little gray lady. light.
Good. I mean, those are good beers.
I said go light is what I said, but you would have gotten in on the pumpkin beers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or that Whale's Tail Pale Ale.
I like the Whale's Tail.
I love a Whale's Tail.
You know what?
Tail
I do
ale.
Like a nice Whale's
I like
tail.
The name. I like the taste. I like the whole thing.
Yeah.
But pumpkin beers? Nick, you went on pumpkin beers?
I love pumpkin
beers. Yeah, I thought so. Looks like a guy would like pumpkin beers, doesn't he?
It's just, yeah.
He's like, no, flannel.
That's true.
I was going to say, he is like
you look
the
like pumpkin
beer,
like poster of pumpkin beer would be Nick drinking one.
When they're picturing.
100%.
When they're picturing their clientele.
Yeah.
They go, who are we marketing to with these pumpkin beers? Nick.
They're like, we need to throw a Ranger Rick.
Beards and flannels.
Yeah, beards, flannels, mid-20s. Exactly.
Perfect.
That's exactly it.
Love this.
But no, shout out to Cisco. Good event last night. Courtney did have to leave a little earlier.
What happened?
Well, apparently they were going
to straight to the bank, pal.
Going to
she's going to the bank.
I guess had to go make a withdrawal. No, I guess they were going to a Harry Potter event.
Yeah. So apparently there was a Harry Potter. It's called Harry Potter the Exhibition. The magic has come to Boston, and so they must travel around, and it's like a whole to do with Harry Potter stuff from the movie, stuff from the books. As it were, I guess.
So guys,
from the
here
books.
We go.
Yeah, you got
it's
it?
It's been one of my trending sponsors.
Thank you very much.
Wow, okay. Lanny,
the Magic opens in Boston on September 13th, so today, so they got a sneak preview.
Yeah, she's big time.
Celebrate the filmmaking 13th. Magic and more at Harry Potter the Exhibition. Limited time, tickets at harrypotterexhibition.com.
So
thank you very much, Bill.
I got dragged along to.
This interests me, by the way.
An interactive experience for King Tut. They had like an interactive experience.
Sorry. What, Steve Martin bit?
No.
The thing from SNL?
No, but so I was like, are there going to be like artifacts?
King Tut. King Tut.
Are there going to be like artifacts and things? No.
He was there?
It was an immersive, interactive experience where it was just like stuff projected on walls. I'm like.
They're like, this is what it would feel like to get mummified.
No, they're like, this is what it would feel like to like. Walk into the pyramids into like the great tomb.
Wasn't he like a young gun? Wasn't he like 14?
Quite young. Maybe even younger than that.
They take out all your organs when they mummify you.
Yeah, sure.
They take them all out.
Yeah, they take them all out.
They harvest your organs. They're the original organ harvesters.
Yeah. And so when you make your comeback,
yeah,
in the mummy and things like this,
yeah,
when you make your comeback, you're organless.
Do you think it was.
The body's intact. Very much intact.
How do you think the pyramids were built? Besides aliens.
Besides aliens?
Yeah, there's nothing that you can say. Like, obviously aliens.
Yeah. Mass enslavement, probably, but they had
the technology, Jones.
Aliens, I think, is the obvious answer. I'm with you on that.
So, Courtney and her husband Santo were going to a Harry Potter experience,
but it sounds like they actually had real artifacts and things there.
Yeah,
from
they
the
had
movie.
Stuff that, from the movie.
That's
I believe,
better
yeah.
than the King Tut one. Yeah,
yeah. It sounds like a great time, right? It celebrates the magic in a groundbreaking exhibition in Boston. Authentic props and costumes. From your favorite Wizarding World films.
It's a little cosplay going on, maybe.
I kind of like it. Now,
you're a wizard, Harry.
It took a whole turn, and it turned into they think Santo is a LARPer and everything else. They think he's into LARPing. She was very defensive about that. So she was defending
I heard some Quidditch
him.
Talk as well. There's a lot of Quidditch talk.
Because I think what happened, Quidditch, obviously the sport of Harry Potter.
Sport of King.
So they were talking about how like they're kind of making fun of Courtney for like dragging Santo there. And then she was like, well, he actually wanted to go. So then they were making fun of him for wanting to go.
Yeah.
Lightning bolt! Ah! Lightning bolt!
Sleep!
Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!
I just, so the whole premise of the hashtag dork podcast is you like what you like.
Let your freak flag fly.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Harry Potter's not necessarily my thing. Like I've seen all of the films.
Uh-huh.
And if I had a free ticket to the exhibition,
you go.
I would go.
Nice.
I would go. I don't know all about it. I didn't read the books. I'm sure they read the books and they know all the details of it. But like, I'm a Star Wars.
Santo can recite you lines from the book.
probably
right off the top of his head.
Let me tell you something. The White Raven is horny.
So I guess he wrote like a Game of Thrones. Didn't he have like a Game of Thrones newsletter or something? I believe
who
Santo did.
Oh, I was unaware of this. I didn't know that. Okay,
called the White Raven.
Oh.
And so anyway,
that's what they
bring that up. Yeah, no, so I respect Santo. He's a dork like me.
Yeah.
He talks Marvel movies, Star Wars, Harry Potter.
Hashtag dork podcast.
Thank you. I have zero problem with any of this. Now, I think Courtney thought I was going to defend Harry Potter a little bit more than I did during the crossover. Because I was like, yeah, it's fine. Like, I would, you know.
I don't think I've seen a movie start to finish. Like, it's been on.
They're pretty good.
Like, this is how I feel about, like, the Hunger Games movies.
Those are okay. I saw those, too.
If they're, like, on TV, I'm, like, flipping through, I'm like, all right, I'll pop these on and watch a little bit of it.
They're on every single weekend.
Say it again?
Yeah, they are on.
They're on every
single
weekend.
All the time, the Harry Potter.
On
so I don't know if I've ever sat down, like, start to finish and watch the Harry Potter
Katniss
film.
Katniss Everdeen? Good character.
Yeah, I've definitely never read the book. Same with the Hunger Games.
No, me neither.
But, like, okay, I'm not, like, a hater either, but it's not exactly something I'm well-versed in.
Participate.
I like that.
Is what I've said.
How about that?
I think you could have a nice time. Well, I was trying to explain to Wiggy. I'm like, well, what if there was like a big like horror convention? Like you wouldn't go to that?
I'm sorry?
Horror.
Horror convention, yes.
Or a horror convention. I guess you'd go to that too. But I was saying horror convention. And he's like, oh yeah, maybe I would. Yeah. And Courtney's like, all right, so you're going to go see all these like fictional characters like Michael Myers and like Jason Voorhees, but you're making fun of Harry Potter?
Yeah.
It's all the same crap. It's all entertainment to me. So what's entertaining to one person might not be entertaining to the other, but what's the difference? If that's something you enjoy, go see a Harry Potter exhibit.
Right. Like if my pal Shane in Plymouth is listening, like a Reba convention. They got like a Reba, well, they got like a Reba convention going on.
But if you wanted to do that.
And Van is there.
So I personally wouldn't go to that, but if you did, I wouldn't be like making fun
Cheyenne?
Of you.
Cheyenne? Oh, man, doing that.
Don't tell me you wouldn't be giving Cheyenne the side eye.
People like what they like.
And so, yeah, no, people like what they like. It's all entertainment. Thank you, Keith. But yeah, I don't know that I'd be thrilled personally about getting dragged along to that.
But I think that's sort of what was on Earth. I don't think he was dragged.
Leading the charge.
I think they kind of went willingly together.
So what would
a consensual event.
What would you be leading the charge to that like Katie would not
so Star Wars. To go to? So this is a good example. Yeah. So several months ago, we went to LA to see Tim Robinson. He did like a live show, the guy from I Think You Should Leave. He's like the funniest guy in the world. And so we were in L.A. for a couple days, or actually we stayed in Anaheim because it was cheaper to stay in Anaheim, super close to Disneyland. So two adults, we went to Disneyland. I've never been to Disneyland, Disney World, never been to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Disneyland, and my wife has never seen a Star Wars. Doesn't see a Star. I tried watching Star Wars with her once. She was like, she bagged out of it quick. She's like, is this all it is talking robots? I was like, well, they're droids, but yeah,
you're like, kinda.
There's a lot of that.
First of all, they're droids.
They're droids. She hated it. But she went to the Rise of the Resistance ride at Star Wars, which for people who have gone to it, they know it's incredible. And even afterwards, she was like, I don't know what any of that is, and it was awesome. She loved it.
How about that?
She's never even seen the movie. She's like, I can only imagine how much you liked it, knowing that like you're into all this crap. So, I don't know. That stuff was fun. I wouldn't say I dragged her to it, but she was like, you know, not the one.
Not exactly.
She would have done that on her own.
Right. Yeah, that's
But you know what? She had a nice time. She went in with an open mind, had a nice time.
It's a healthy relationship.
Yeah, you know I like to think so.
You know what? I don't really want to do this, but I'll go check it out.
Yes.
I'm open-minded about it. That's a nice, like said, healthy relationship.
Right. I saw Lady Gaga with her, like I said yesterday.
Lovely.
I saw that at Fenway Park. Not
Lovely.
Bad. Yeah.
Nice time.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I gotta work on that personally. I gotta look in the mirror and work on that.
I'm not doing it. It's not sports. I'm not doing it.
Boston sports tonight's on. Oh, man. I can't
there is a lot of foot dragging on my end. I will say a lot of anchoring.
Broaden
down
your
foot
horizons.
Dragging. Yeah, no, I have to.
That's it.
Yeah, relationship goals, Keith. Mm-hmm. That's what I gotta get to. So there you go. That's misleading each and every day on this show. We revisit a little something from the Greg Hill Show. Again, we're fans. A lot of you are. We hear it on our drive-in, so we revisit. We'll get to your feedback here coming up. We have Lou Merlone scheduled at high noon on Patriots Friday. Alex Van Pelt will be joining us noontime hour. Dietrich Wise will be joining us noontime hour. Lou Merlone, fingers crossed, next.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.